Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
I'm telling you, we need a lot of humor tonight. Because, I mean, I know that it was going to get hit crazy, but I don't know. This is now on complete hyperdrive, but we're going to have a great show tonight. I mean, it's endless. I don't know where we're going to start when we start to get serious. But tonight we've got Scott with me again and Eric, and we have a great show where we're going to start out in international. I mean, it's endless, from the WikiLeaks to and Julian Assange and the 40 million cold cash just dropped in Iran. We're going to get into the nuclear-armed caliphate over in Turkey, and then we're going to switch gears national, this Khazir Khan and all of that. And, I mean, he was in the business of bringing them over from Saudi Arabia. And I mean, the media is so out of control. They're on hyperdrive, spin drive, just to try and drive, distract, and discourage all of us. But before we get to the madness, before we get to the insanity, I got to make you laugh. I got to make you giggle. We've got to forget some of it. And this is the unique voice in conservative talk radio. And if I can do one thing, I would like to inspire you to find the redneck, blue-collar spirit that's telling you that we all need to adhere to right now and stand our ground, because we are being tested. We are being tested with every inch, every mite in ourselves. We also have to get out and spread that message one listener at a time. To get it right, to stop Hillary Killery, the fat windbag water buffalo, panic suit. I just can't take her. And the day that I thought that I would see Hillary Killery screaming about how Comey said that she was truthful, but I can't jump too fast, too quick, but I want to give a quick shout out. Scott, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good. And, you know, when you're talking about Hillary, did you see that green outfit she had on today? Oh, I'm watching a little newscast before we get to the show today. My wife said, oh, that green outfit really brings out those huge bags underneath her eyes.
Not a lovely lady.
And can somebody please borrow me $400 million? I've been asking all night for this, and no one's doing nothing. I mean, what's just a few bucks, you know? Just coincidence? What do you say?
All right, we'll get to it. I just wanted to let you get warmed up here with me, because you got to give me some grief, because I've been given a lot of grief, and I've got to get into, you know, Wilson has sent me over the edge. He's lost his mind. I got to get that. And just wait till you hear about my failed attempt on a Craigslist date, my conversation at the swimming pool at Lifetime Fitness, but also something very inspiring happened at Mickey D's over the weekend. But before I get to those, and then we get into the international, and then the national, and then the local news of the day. Eric, how are you surviving, buddy?
Hey, we're doing great here. I think our little oil patch hopefully is going to be back and operating next week, so we're all excited about that. Got my hair cut today, so I'm looking good.
God bless you, brothers. I am sitting, I'm not even in the swimming pool in the back of the mobile studio. It is too hateful hot here. And we're at, we were at 90-some degrees, 70% humidity. But no, okay, so I know that everybody has been sitting on the edge of their chair asking, what have I done to Wilson this time? Well, as a matter of fact, guys, I couldn't believe it. I about threw my truck into the ditch when I answered the phone last week, and Frank from the UK was actually concerned about Wilson's well-being. He didn't know that if he could survive all of these antics that I've been putting him through. I couldn't believe it. I thought, you understand what I deal with? I mean, guys, help me out. Those that know me, you know, you can rescue me. Just, you know, I mean, I got a lot on my hands. I got a 71-year-old curmudgeon, unsocial best friend. I've been doing my best, guys. I'll update those that are new listening to the show. I got him involved in online dating, but of course, I was involved in the whole thing from rigging. Yes, I rigged the system. I got to look out for my little 71-year-old curmudgeon. So I was being the responder back and forth, okay? So I'm posting for him, then I'm answering the emails, and, you know, I got to monitor the thing. I mean, I don't know if I can get nitrate and oxygen to him when he needs it, and God help me, he's on this, you know, youth rejuvenating regime. I don't even know. Don't ask me. I don't want to know, okay? But so, okay, so guys, the other day, I get a phone call from him, okay? Because he actually, so he somehow broke the code. I don't know. He's a little smart on his own, but somehow he actually got a date arranged with somebody through this online system. So it's not foolproof, obviously. I didn't put enough child protection on the whole situation. But he gets a date, and he calls me, and he says that he's stuck at Old Country Buffet on this date. Well, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm gonna do a little intervention here. And so I went to meet him because I thought, if he's going to engage himself with the enemy, now let's remind ourselves, we're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, predominantly 99.9% liberal, at least within the female gender, right?
90,
you guys not agree
9.
With me? What's
98.
That?
98.9.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah, 99.9. And
okay.
And knowing that this is a mental disorder, and they're typically man haters, and they typically do as much as possible to just drive a man completely bat crazy, then it occurred to me, I'm going to be mighty wise about this whole thing. I'm going to meet with her, and I'm going to tell her all the things that she needs to do to woo him, okay? If I ask her the top three most hateful things to be dragged around with a woman, I'm not trying to get you in trouble with your wife. I'm just saying, top three things that, as a man, you don't want to be dragged by a woman to. Top three things.
A movie about couples.
Real quick, you've been asked about this now. Movie, okay.
Walk around a lake.
Three.
Hold hands.
Yeah, and force to talk.
Keep it simple.
Yep. There you go.
If I put you up to this assignment, what I'm trying to do is, I've got to get the little curmudgeon off. He's right wing like me, okay? And he doesn't understand what he's gotten himself in. Long time since he's been in the dating world. This is not the same. Are conniving as hell. They are the enemy. I refuse to engage with them. As a matter of fact, I don't usually get along with women very well, but I know how to play their game, especially. So I sat her down, and I told her, I said, this is what you're going to do. Next time when you get together, because just make this a meet and greet and smile and wink and wear some pink lip gloss and, you know, get them a little bit and engage, you know, tighten that shirt a little bit, wiggle your butt a little bit, and tell them how you can't wait to see them again. And then call a few of your girlfriends and have them at the different locations that you're going to take him around to. You're going to first start out going to the farmer's market, especially on the morning that he can't wait to watch his PGA, his favorite PGA golf game, right? Drag him to the farmer's market. When you get to the farmer's market, have one of your plants there, one of your little partners in crime. I said he loves a gaggle of women. I mean, the more the merrier, and the more that you can talk and yammer on and talk about your frustrations, your aggravations, your man-hating topics, you know, the times that you were let down, times that you were left frustrated, aggravated sexually, all of that crap that believe it or not, he's really a sympathizer, and he can actually give you a lot of experience. He's got a lot, you know, so I'll bring it all to the table. So when you get to the farmer's market, have one of your buddies meet up with you. Now all of a sudden you're going to drag him out for breakfast, and you're going to go back to, now let's say, a super-packed Perkins where you have to wait for a long time in line, but nonetheless, now you pick up another one, so now there's three of you. Now all of a sudden you're going to go to the Mall of America. And then when you go to the Mall of America, don't just go to one store. Oh, no. Do what all women do and need to do. I wanted this, you know, I'm trying to, I'm kind of giving myself away. And I said, no, well, what you need to do is go to every single department store and then now pick up a fourth one, okay? And now you've got hordes and hordes of clothes you're trying on. You got to stop. You got to do the beauty pictures or whatever, all that fun stuff is. Go get makeovers, go get manicures, pedicures, do everything, and then give him all the bags. And then by the end of it, then you've got it, and then you're going to end up going to what was the movie? I can't remember what the movie was that you guys got dragged into that was so hateful for you all. But anyways, fine. I didn't say that out loud to her, but I said find, you know, a really lovey-dovey hug, kiss. That's when you can let your little gaggle of girls go. But make sure it's a really long, and, you know, I set her up, and she was all excited. I can hardly wait for this marathon event for him to finally understand the enemy that he is dealing with. But that is the enemy that we are dealing with this mental disorder of liberalism that will paint this picture as if everything is perfect, everything is, you know, the country is fixed, the economy is going forward. It makes absolute sense, perfect sense, that we sent $400 million on crates, iPlane, to Iran. Yeah, it had nothing to do with the hostages. But anyways, I wanted a break, guys. So after all of this madness with Wilson and trying to sort out his business and trying, I don't know, I don't know how I'm going to get this accomplished, finding him a single 70-something-year-old right-wing conservative gal. But, you know, you can't lose faith, just like you can't lose faith in this country. So I went to the swimming pool, okay? And I was hanging out on the side of the pool at Lifetime Fitness, like I love to do. And, you know, the one thing that I love doing, obviously, is jacking with people and messing with people. Well, I met this young man. He was probably in his later 60s or 70s as well. And, of course, I asked him if he was going to vote. And he looked at me, and, you know, a lot of people don't get me right off the bat. And so he decides to school me with his history lesson, the history of GOP and the DNC and you know, voting and how elections are lost by voter fraud and did I really understand. And so then as I was fluffing my hair and putting on my pink lip gloss so that I could give him as much of a tough game to be able to figure out, I looked at him and I said, what's the Baltic Sea Index? He kind of squinched his eyes towards me, and so then I said, what's reverse notation station calculation? And he looked again at me, and I said, okay. I said, you know what, buddy? I said, you don't understand what you're dealing with me. And I said, you've underestimated me. And I said, if you want to go all the way up to the top of the Gecko Island meeting, the global elitists, the Illuminati, George Soros, how this is all bought and paid for by the great system called the establishment, and the fact that we have got the biggest fight in our life. And I said to him, I learned so much in this last year. I said, I used to be young and naive. I used to believe that a Republican still meant that they were God-fearing, God-loving for this country and fought for us. I used to actually believe we could elect officials and put them in office and that they actually did what they campaigned on. I said, I actually believed that we had a huge list of insurgents that came forward for this GOP process, this nominating process this year. But what I realized that they were all wolves in sheep's clothing, and the amount of filth, dirt, crimes, and games, the amount of diversion, the amount of trying to distract us from now until November when we vote, it is going to be on hyperdrive, on spin drive. We are going to see things we never thought we would see. And as Ron, the superintendent, called me the other day, and he said, you can't make this shit up. And he said, "This, we are living in times we will never see again. And we will never have this country be what it was meant to be, what it could be, or great again if we let that fat windbag, Hillary Killery, panic suit, water buffalo, lying criminal in office. Because she won't get one term, she'll get two terms. And the damage that has been done now, can you only imagine what will happen when that lying, scathing, she will say anything, pander to anybody, take control, and forever, permanently, catastrophically dismantle this country. I barely took a breath in that first 15 minutes. We got to take our first break, but we got to fight, baby, fight. We'll be right back with Eric, Scott, and myself going after the international news. Take it, Don.
You don't find any better guys in a family team than Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are the GAF and Timberline certified Polar Builders. Upgrades your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that is Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100.
And we are back, Bella, Eric, Scott. So here I want to give some inspirational, because how we're going to get our job done, and I will beat this into your heads until I start hearing response and results and hearing that you're out being me. And if I say, you know, pink bra, white T-shirt, hey, that's my feminine side. You know, that's how I like to dress sometimes with my pink lip gloss. But it's also just kind of my theme to make you remember that setting yourself apart also means setting yourself apart from those that refuse to pick up the fight. Nothing pisses me off more than somebody that sits behind that Facebook page and screams away, and especially the ones that argue with me, and then I ask them, how are you making a difference, though? How are you going out and inspiring that 18-year-old to go out and vote and make the right decision in November? How are you getting them to understand the difference between the two candidates? So, if you hang out with me, which those in the oil field saw me do it on a regular basis at their rig or when I was in town, and now that I'm back in Minneapolis, I talk to people. So there's this Mickey D's that I love going to on the weekends. I go and I do a 4.2-mile walk, and then I go to Mickey D's. I've made a lot of friends there, especially the kids behind the counter. So Malaya is her name. I gave her my card a couple weeks ago and asked her if she would listen to the radio show. She said, you know what? I'm going to get my mom to listen. My mom's a Hillary supporter, and my grandma is a Trump supporter. So when I saw her the other day, I said, did you listen? Did they listen? She hesitated for a couple of seconds. I could tell she didn't really want to answer. And she looked at me with the sweetest eyes, and she said, you know what? My dad says you're a racist. Huh. And I just stood there. And she said, because I know I'm not a racist. I'm a racist against those that hate this country. but I am not a racist, and the only colors that need to be divided are in the laundry. So I said to her, I said, but so they listened, and she said, yeah, my dad told me not to listen to you. You're a racist. And she said, I looked at him, and I said, I love Bella. She's sweet. She's nice. She always asks me about where am I excited to go to college, what's new, what have I been doing. And then she got this twinkle in her eye, and she said, you know what? I am going to listen to your show. I'm just not going to tell my dad. But it's that racial divide that our country is further, far more racially divided now than it's ever been. And the one thing that I said, yes, and the one thing that I said when that sympathizing muzzy thug got in office is that, can you imagine what he would have done for this country, for blacks in this country, if he had done what he promised? But he has done what he promised to those he has true allegiance to, which has got nothing to do with being an American or making America great. He is he's a supporter of Black Lives Matter, of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's on the other side. I mean, if it isn't as blatant as sending that $400 million over to Iran and then claiming that's his business as usual. But the interesting thing, and I want to start out because Eric, you did a nice job of trying to keep us on track here. This WikiLeaks could be kind of the Trojan horse for us to pull out and really set the fire to Hillary, because when I was talking to Ron the other day, and I want everybody to think about this, if this was a quiet summer where ISIS wasn't terrorizing, if we didn't have these police shootings, which I don't condone it in any shape or form, and my heart and prayers go to all the victims and all of those in the police force that we have lost, if we didn't have all the protesting, if we didn't have the Black Lives Matter, if we didn't have the madness and the insanity of Hillary with Comey coming out and saying that, you know, she was untrustworthy, whether it was intent or not, and then Hillary going on and saying, no, I was on. If none of this was going on, Eric, you know full well our job would be a hell of a lot harder, and God bless WikiLeaks for coming out and leaking to us the information that those of us that don't know are sitting back and starting to think, I'm questioning my decision. Just like I had shared that George Clooney, I know through a very good friend, he had supported a $25,000 plate fundraiser for her. He almost pulled out the night before, and this is about 8 months ago. He's now questioning his support for her. There better be a lot of damn people questioning support of her. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, you know, you got to check the facts, right? The facts are coming out, like Julian Assange, he's got all those emails. He came up with another thing today that's coming, that all those emails she said weren't confidential. He's got a whole litany of emails he's going to release now that have confidential stamped all over them that she leaked and didn't protect. So there's a lot more coming for that deal. You know, we all know the history of the Clintons has been fraudulent, corrupt, since he was governor of Arkansas, and she just had this vision to be a powerful egomaniac, and that's all she's worked on is just money and power ever since she became his wife and was in the house there in Arkansas. Go watch Clinton Cash if you want to know what she did as Secretary of State. She funneled billions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation on her basic orders as Secretary of State. She flew all around the world and used those meetings to set up friends in mining, oil, timber, all kinds of businesses so she could help them, help themselves, and then they always trickle back $100 million here or $50 million there. I mean, it's out there. Everybody needs to activate and educate themselves on what this lady's about and what she's up to and why she's not good for America.
My thing is, when it came out, and then Scott, I'm going to ask you to jump in, when she tried to deflect the blame and claim that this was a relationship between Trump and Putin, I guess we've all forgotten about the uranium deal that she had with Russia. And if she didn't send classified information, why is there a concern about being hacked? But again, all of this, and then here's the thing. You've got the sympathizing Muzzy Thug nonstop saying how Trump is unfit and giving all of these speeches, which is just deflecting as much as he can. Because he's the king of deflection. That's all he's done in the 7.5 years that he's been in office. While he blows up, destroys, dismantles, then he gets on air and just completely deflects and tries to turn our attention so that, you know, hopefully we're not paying attention to what he's really doing. But so he's running around. And the thing is we've never in history to those of you listening that you maybe just tuned in or you're trying to check out the show and maybe you're the 18-year-old that I talked to at Panera or at Holiday Gas Station or at Cub Foods, when have you ever seen a president working so hard to tell you who you should vote for and basically call out as a criminal? It's never happened. It's never happened. And this is coming from a president who has got nothing to call to fame in success as to what he's actually brought improvement, how he's actually solved the problem, how he's actually brought this country forward together across the aisle, brought hope and change in the way that we were presented in the beginning. Ask yourself, how much better is your life today than 7.5 years ago? How much opportunity do you see in futures as far as job growth and investments in your savings? How much safer do you feel at night? How about when you're flying? How about when you're out in your streets? And are you wondering if somebody, when you go to the movie theater, is going to blow themselves up? When you walk outside and you see a bunch of police officers, do you think that one of them is going to randomly just get shot? How about me myself? I shared with Eric the other day. I was driving down 494, and God forbid, but I was stuck in rush hour traffic, and all I could think about was the van, and would somebody set up a... These are all of these fears and thoughts that are going through our heads. Do you understand how much terrorism has taken root within the U.S.? I mean, people that never normally thought about this, but that's why I say I do not believe, and I tried to encourage Wilson when I talked to him tonight, and he's all discouraged because it's showing Trump 10 points behind Hillary right now. Eric, I can't believe that poll. And even if it's even marginally close, okay, so he had a bad couple of 72 hours only because the press is making it as if he has had some huge gap compared to Hillary the criminal.
Yeah, it's crazy. The polls are twisted statistics. They were invented to sway elections early on, actually back during the 60s elections, you know, when Johnson won. They made these polls so they could convince the public that based on polls, this is what we think of this guy and that guy, and statistically insignificant number in there. They're just BS polls. There's polls out there, if you go to the internet, that show Trump with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people answering the polls up like 55% to her 25%. But we see it in the crowds. Look at the crowds he gets. He's still filling stadiums, kind of like Obama did when he ran. And Hillary, they show the pictures of hers, and she's even had venues canceled because nobody's showing up to her venues.
She paid people! So. She paid people! Hey, Scott, before we go into our next break, I got to let you jump in here. It's the mainstream media at its finest trying to just spin and distract us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still trying to get the answer to that $400 million international question. You know, what is that all about? That's the thing. And what the deal on that, folks, is there's the government, Obama, gave Iran $400 million cash. Yes, that's cash, on last January 15th. And that was within minutes, folks, quite literally within minutes, of four American hostages getting released from Iran. and what the layman would call that as a quid pro quo. You can't. You're not allowed to do that. You can't. We don't exchange cash for prisoners of war, and I think that's what happened. And that's just a really scary thing to think that that would happen. That kind of money, and it wasn't in U.S. dollars either. It was Swiss francs and euros. So that type of information is that's a pretty scary thing to have happen.
Yeah, you wonder if the European Union isn't involved in that deal too somehow.
Yeah, I mean, that's just so much money. It's just a ton of money. It's just
cash,
amazing that happened.
Why don't we just write them a check, you know?
Yeah, they cash that check.
The check is a piece of evidence you can work off of. Cash is unnumbered bills, you know. Story can be twisted any way you want.
Yep, unnumbered bills. So it's just laid out there. Exchange for our prisoners. They say it's not. I don't know what it was exchanged for cash will be owed them, I guess. But that's just an amazing thing to think that actually happened and made it, that actually went all the way through into fruition.
And then the president says, that's okay. That was part of that $1.8 billion we promised them of the money we kept since 1979 and et cetera, et cetera. But most of us, we don't believe a word that guy says anymore.
Hey, guys, we're up against our next break. But here's the thing. Anything that is so obvious, like where you think you can connect the dots within this administration, all it is a diversion. All it is for us to put our attention in one spot. I don't believe it had anything to do with the hostages. I don't know enough about Iran and the bigger story, and anybody listening that knows somebody that has some type of actual proof and facts behind it. All I do know is this. Anything that seems to make sense or seems to, you ask yourself, $400 million for exchange for hostages, I don't believe it had anything to do with it. I have said this for the longest time. By the time that muzzy sympathizing thug gets out of office, the things that we will find out that actually happened in that administration behind those closed doors, even those of us that thought that we knew just how corrupt, just how insidious, just how hateful, just how much he and the rest of them wanted, and I don't mean just on the Democratic, I mean on the Republican, wanted to destroy this country, even we will not be able to believe nor understand. It's going to take us a very long time to undo the destruction to this country and to make it great again. But that's why we need a real leader. We need someone that can come in with clear, concise ideas and answers and a great team around them. That's why we have to support Trump. That's why we have to get out and fight, baby, fight. We're up against our next break. We'll be right back.
I'm here to introduce Trust Vets. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com. to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help before hiring any local service. Visit trustvets.com. Come and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've definitely earned it.
We are back. Bella, Eric, and Scott here.
What up?
You were just talking about the polling and Hillary's unfavorability and Here's what, okay, so she's got a 61% unfavorability at a 10-point lead in Trump, and you were saying that's just showing how it's never happened, and yet he's kind of giving it to her. But here's why
Possible? I mean, how is that even possible? That's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
Well,
the polls do that wrong is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. And here's what, okay, so while I was driving home tonight, and I was checking on Wilson, making sure he hadn't been up to any other madness that I didn't know about, what else I have to patrol? Jesus, I'm going to have to get his neighbor ladies involved far more than what they've already been involved. Like, you know, I could, I'll save the Wilson thing, but anyways, I could figure out a way for them to actually go in and feel that he needs, like, some special, like, tucking in, not assisted living, but we're getting close to it. I don't know. Anyways, but he was saying to me how down and out he was after watching Fox. Okay, let's go and look at a couple of facts here. When you look at factually, he's got more, he's at more votes than any GOP nominated in history, 1725 in delegates. He knocked off 16 or 17, I always forget the correct number, 16 or 17 competitors that he was up against, all of them career politicians except for Ben Carson. He went from being a laugh-at joke to now all of a sudden he's getting huge endorsements from all over, from big political to businessmen to border, NRA, Clint Eastwood. I mean, all these, you know, celebrities as well coming out. You've got, now when you look at his rallies, the number of people that are showing up versus Hillary's, she actually had to pay people at the DNC because when her delegates left, she had to pay people to sit in those crowds. I'm going to give you some insight from Minneapolis, Minnesota, because that's where I am. And for the love of God, I didn't think that I was going to find young people. I didn't think that I would ever talk to a Democrat, but I talked to older Democrats. When I say older, I'm talking about the generation that, let me not say older, let me say the young ladies in their 60s and 70s, where those Democrats are of the mindset that can't even get their arms around the progressive liberalism that is so far left that they're not their party anymore. And this was months ago that I met with these young ladies, and they were telling me that they were Democrat diehard lifers, but they were all supporting Trump. They said Hillary's a crook. And they said, you know, they're embarrassed of their country. There was a couple weeks ago I met the woman that said she was a diehard Democrat. But when Paul Ryan couldn't endorse Trump, she was switching and she was voting. I'm meeting 20-year-olds and 18-year-olds that tell me if they're not voting Sanders, you know, they can't, they didn't realize it. Well, they sure the hell are not voting for Hillary, so they're going to vote Trump. I meet young people saying they're going to do whatever they can do to just to vote against Hillary. So when you've got all of this, you know, this experience, and when you can bring those numbers to the show and talk about, there's something going on which is called a revolution, which is why the media is losing their shit, because they're realizing that the closer they get to this and the bigger groundswell and revolution and backing behind Trump, so what do? They do what any terrified if they think that they're losing shit. So they're going to pick at anything possible and throw as big a grenade at Trump and make it as big as possible. Now what Trump needs to do is he's got to mind his P's and Q's, just like Isabella does when I go to work, where I, you know, I want to remain employed instead of making a point. If you want to get the big seat, and when you realize what you're up against and your enemies, you've got to stay on task, and you've got to keep attacking Hillary. Pull those gloves off. Go after her, and do not let this small white noise bullshit like this Kazir Khan. Eric, you could speak to this, because this was the biggest maniacal display of political bullshit pandering for a story that finally, unfortunately, if Trump would have said nothing, all of his dirty linen would have come out. Why don't you give us some insight on this madness?
Talking about the con guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the stories are coming out every day about how he's got a law firm and had a website that he just took down that was working with Muslims to circumvent the immigration refugee system we got here and bring them in for a fee and set them up as Americans or whatever he was doing. So he was being illegal, completely illegal, and just having people buy favors to get him in here. So he was not a very nice guy. I mean, his history goes back, way back to some of his writings in the 80s and stuff, when he completely supported Sharia law and downplayed the Constitution as being a worthless document. I mean, this guy is not good for America. He's typical what Hillary would come up with in the Democrats. You know, I guess maybe they didn't think ahead to what this guy's all about, or maybe they just think Muslim Islam is the way of the world. So be it, you know. But I don't think that's the way of the world. But the guy's, you know, it's tragic. His son died 12 years ago. We all,
very tragic.
Grace for that, you know. But 12 years ago, hell, there was no thought in Trump's mind to being president back then. That was somebody else's problem, and it should have never brought up. And then the calling Trump a black heart and all that for saying he wanted to vet Muslims. I mean, it was out of control, and Trump had to respond. Of course, Trump is not a politician, so sometimes he doesn't respond right. But he really never said anything really bad, and the pundits are just tearing it apart, and it's such a shame. And the Ryans of the world and the McCains of the world and the president himself getting on. There's no basis for what they're doing to Trump other than they don't want him to be president. So be it. Khazar Khan, or was it, I can't remember his whole name, but he's all of a sudden apologizing and saying, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't have done this, and getting so much bad press. And oh, they're digging up all this stuff I've admitted to Sharia is a good thing. So he's paying the price now, and he's starting to try to become invisible.
Here's the thing. It's not, I mean, they blatantly just think that we're stupid.
That's it.
Hillary has all along, I mean, but look at where we were at 7.5 years ago. Look at the landscape of the country. Think about your personal life. How, when you went out and you socialized and, you went about your day, we didn't have known ISIS camps here. We didn't know about mosques, Sharia law. We weren't waking up to terror attacks across the pond and here on a regular basis. We weren't waking up to police shootings. Black Lives Matter didn't exist. They weren't screaming, fry 'em like bacon. They weren't screaming about this social injustice. We didn't fear and have fear and loathing. No, what we were all doing, at least except for those of us that were paying attention that were awake, we were all running around happy, you know. We were pissed at both parties. We were pissed at the Bushes. We were pissed at the Clintons. And, you know, when we watched this muzzy, sympathizing thug come in with his grandiose sales presentation, that he spun it so fast and so hard that none of us slowed down to even pay attention to who he was associated with, nothing about how he grew up, about his hatred towards entrepreneurialism, capitalism, that he was a socialist Marxist, that he was that he claimed to his roots of Islam and Muslim and what all that meant. Nobody knew who George Soros was. None of this affected us. We just simply went about our day, those of us, and we voted for someone that sold us a utopia, which is what we all wanted for this country. Well, I don't know about you, but when I walk around today, and Eric and Scott and those of you that are listening that are regular patriots fighting the good fight, when we talk to people, I'm caught off guard too sometimes by people that I would have never thought would say the things to me, just like the gal that cut my hair a couple weeks ago. And she's just a tiny little, 20-year-old gal, and You know, she's got the purple and green through her hair, and I thought for sure she's a green tree-hugging little liberal. And she said, my God, I don't want my guns taken away. Here's the thing, and that's what I said to the guy at the pool. So the cool thing was, guys, after giving him a hard time about what he thought I knew and understood, just like those of you that meet me for the first time and maybe don't understand that I know what I do know once you do get to know me, just like in the oil field when I used to get phone calls first thing in the morning asking what I thought about this or that, or when I drive up on location and bounce in your rig and we get into it right away. Well, when I saw that young man from the pool just a couple days ago on Saturday, and he walked right up to me, and I asked him if he'd listened to the show yet, and he said, I'm sorry I didn't, but he said, you inspired me. He said, I went to a gun store the other day, and I took up the conversation asking those guys. He said, I felt safe at least talking to those guys about what they felt about what was going on in this campaign. And then he said, my wife was surprised. He looked at me and said, you never do that. And he said, well, call me crazy, but I got inspired the other day. And I said, if nothing else, I said, you got to make this point to people. And I said this last time, but if you want the lawlessness, the disregard for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, those that the founding fathers fought for, and the basis of what this country was founded on, which was law and order and a country of God, then if you want the madness and insanity, if you want these criminals to forever run free, as the Muzzy Sympathizing Thug just released 200 and some more prisoners today, if you want that to be business as usual, then don't worry about the 5 Supreme Court justices being filled, because trust me, they will be filled with probably Muslim brothies. I mean, that's probably what will, and if you don't understand Sharia law, well, we'll get more into that, but Sharia law is complete abuse towards women. There is no conversion. Unless they convert you, they kill you. And their ultimate goal is a caliphate, which is taking over this world. And they are well on their way, because all we do is we send little letters telling them where to go hide, because we're going to go send some fake bombs to try and at least tell somebody that we did something. But all it was a little note from a fortune cookie saying, we're saving you instead of taking you out.
Wag the dog.
I got to take a breath. We got to take our next break. I ran over. We'll be right back. We got to fight, baby, fight.
If you are looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who can also rant about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Petilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small-town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can get Aaron at 952-856-6074. And that again is Aaron at 952-856-6074.
We are back, Bella, Scott, and Eric. So I kind of ran over myself like I normally do. But anyways, guys, I'm gonna give myself a break here. We need to get into the nuclear-armed caliphate and Erdogan, and Eric and Scott, I'm going to let you take it from here, and then I'm going to wrap us out of the segment because we flew through tonight's show. But this is scary stuff that we need to get people paying attention to and listening to. Go ahead, Eric and then Scott.
Yeah, I don't know how much, Scott, you know about this, but I sent a memo out, and we've been watching this Turkey deal, and the current leader there, Erdogan, is absolutely wanting to be the leader of the caliphate, and he's proud of it. But if you look at the history of Turkey, back in 1923, a secular government was formed by Ataturk, which abolished the caliphate back then because they were a problem society. So he kind of calmed Turkey down for a long time. But then Erdogan showed up in 2002, and he imprisoned a lot of the existing leaders and police and military, because they weren't going to follow his way, and then put his own men in charge. And then now we've had this recent coup a couple weeks ago, trying to get him out of there, and it didn't work. And now he's arrested over 50,000 people or put him out of business or suspended them, you know. So he's on his way to be this leader of the caliphate, which is an evil Muslim thing. But the critical thing is he closed down our air base over there, which has 50 nuclear warheads sitting there that the NATO and American troops control. At least at this point, we control 50 nuclear warheads. But he, I guess, turned off all our water, electricity, and everything else to that base, so there's no way to really stay there very long. So this is very scary, and it's not talked about a lot in the press, but it's something we got to all watch and wonder where is this headed with the Muslim caliphate.
No, I didn't hear much about that. I did not know that. So they've got right now, we've got 50 nuclear warheads over there in a base
in Turkey, not
running water.
Don't have water or electricity in them.
How much longer?
1,500 troops that are sitting there twiddling their thumbs wondering what they're going to do next, you know. So I wonder how the diplomacy is going to work there, huh?
Oh, it sounds terrible.
It's really scary.
How long can we sustain staying over there like that?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to ask a military expert, but, you know, a lot of this information's leaking out through various sources. But, you know, I think one of the deals, it was also in that article, Breitbart puts out a lot of this stuff. But they said he's got this deal with the European Union to pay him billions of dollars to keep Syrian Muslims in Turkey for an indefinite period of time, as long as they keep paying that bribe. But he's got open borders in that same agreement for all Turkish Muslims to move freely through Europe. So the scary part is, you know, he's pushing that Muslim belief all the way up into Europe without any control over it. So there's a lot of things to be concerned about, you know, and our president's not concerned about it, but people need to be concerned. I think Trump is concerned. It's a NATO issue, you know, a U.S. issue. We got to stay on top of these kind of things. So beware, people. It's a mess over there in the Middle East. And like Bella says, it wasn't there 8 years ago. It didn't seem like now it's all of a sudden escalating because of the Obama's policies in the White House, which are whatever they are. They're not very sufficient for our protection.
50 nuclear warheads, that kind of ups my $400 million cash, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. 50 nuclear warheads would do a lot of damage. And are we going to get back to the days where we all got bomb shelters like when we were dealing with Russia in the 50s? I mean, we're already worried about terrorism on a minor scale compared to something like that. It's just out there every day. It seems to get worse and worse. And, you know, our foreign policy is not working. We need a bellicose leader in there that'll just tell them nonsense and we'll stop this. And that's why we all need to get out and vote for Trump. Get your friends out to vote for Trump. Trump is the man. He's a great businessman. He's a negotiator. He can sit down at a table and figure all this out. And, you know, forget the little.
You know, and you brought up something, Eric, last time we were talking. You were saying, you know what, you can do about telling people to get the vote out for Trump. You can do when you're putting a dollar in gas in your car, $20 gas in your car. You're checking out. You can say, hey, vote for Trump. Whether you're doing some laundry, no matter what. It's pretty much, people can get a lot done with a really simple message, can't they?
It does. It's like a pyramid thing. It just explodes from there. I know I was talking to my hairdresser today when I got my hair cut, and she's on our side. And her husband's a cop, so she's kind of leaning heavily towards Trump now because the blue lives do matter, and she's concerned about it. And then all the stuff I feed her, you know, the facts about what we're talking about here, she's already to get her friends voting that way. And it doesn't take that much. Bella does a great job of it. And everybody else listening here and everybody we talk to on our radio show, Montana, they all are moving strongly in the direction of Trump. So lots of hope.
We got to keep up the faith. And, guys, we got a minute left, so I got to wrap out of this. Actually, I got 30 seconds. Scott, I know you're going to have a stronger voice as you move forward and you get more comfortable giving me crap and getting out on the radio show. Thank you for your contribution. Eric, as always, love you. We've had a great show tonight, but we got to run. And Go out and make a difference tomorrow. It's
God
not that
America,
hard.
God bless America, guys.
Message.
God bless you.
God bless.
Good night. Ciao for now.